Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now we're going to have Art Moore join us again. Art Moore is a veteran reporter with WorldNet Daily, WND.com, and he's also the co-author of an important new book with Phil Haney, which is called See Something, Say Nothing. And I've asked Art to come on the program to talk about the recent mass killing in Nice, France. Art, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jerry.
I feel so bad about this kind of stuff. It's like, wow, one week it's this, another week it's the attack in Orlando, and another week it's, you know, some explosion over here, and it's just it never stops. And of course, this has nothing to do with Islam, or so our political leaders say.
Yeah, and for France, it's been a horrific couple of years. Just seemingly every couple of months, a horrific attack. And so the French people are asking themselves, is there something going on that's bigger than we realize? And certainly there is, and it has to be understood in the context of decades of immigration from Algeria and Tunisia, countries that were at one time colonies of France. And you see this in Europe with Holland or the Netherlands having a relationship with the Dutch Antilles and having Muslims come there. Germany, the long history of Turks who have come there as guest workers. And so that's in addition to the Scandinavian countries that have seen a huge influx and are experiencing similar, if not big terrorist attacks, they're experiencing these clashes that are taking place. One of them being, rapes of women, like we saw on New Year's Eve. That was something that didn't just take place in Germany; it was all across Europe.
Hmm. Well, let's focus as much as we can on the U.S. In the sense that that's what most of your book does, See Something, Say Nothing. But I really want to focus on the nexus between Islam and the killings. And nobody's saying that all Muslims, of course, are violent. But those who are doing these acts clearly are motivated by their understanding of the Islamic faith. I don't see how anybody can get around that, but of course President Obama does, and Hillary Clinton tries to as well.
She does, and it's interesting. I was just looking at online an interview that Anderson Cooper had done with CNN, and he actually pressed Clinton.
After Nice?
This was after Nice. This
okay.
Was just, yeah, and this was he was pressing Clinton on who is the enemy, and the way she described it was that these are people who use Islam to recruit and radicalize others in order to pursue their evil agenda. And so there's not an understanding that the agenda really is wrapped up in their interpretation of Islam. It'd be like saying, people use Christianity in order to try to convert people, and Christianity is what it's all about. And in this case, there's a clear mandate, according to a very widely held historic interpretation of Islam, that says that one day the whole world must be under the authority of Islam and the Quran. And so what they're doing, this man, I'm sure he has a complicated story that we're going to be learning about over the days.
Muhammad the truck driver.
Right. He had some personal issues in his life, but when he jumped out of that van, he yelled, Allahu Akbar, declaring Allah's supremacy over all other gods or any other authority on earth. And so I think it's really helpful if we understand that there is this overarching aim that was very, it was the same as the ones who attacked Paris back in December and these other attacks that we've seen in Europe, in our own country, in Orlando, in San Bernardino. It's the same ultimate aim, is to establish the rule of Islamic law or Sharia over the world. And they may have different stories that brought them to the point where they decided to carry out those attacks. But these are all tactical operations that are to bring about a much larger goal. It's not people who are somehow borrowing Islam or doing something that is not inherently Islamic to try to pursue, as Hillary Clinton says, an evil agenda. I mean, the agenda is clear if you understand this historic interpretation of Islam.
I used to put it this way, that basically a good jihadist is a good Muslim, a good crusader is a bad Christian. But, you know, anyway, but one could argue about that, because one could say, you know, well, the Christians were doing this in response to the, you know, how many of them were really truly born again in their hearts? You know, that's a big question. But going back to Nice, okay, so here's what happened. July 14th, their Bastille Day, is their equivalent of July 4th. And here they were, people were enjoying fireworks in the beautiful seaside town of Nice. I've been there myself, nice beaches and so forth. And then this man takes a truck and, in the name of Allah, drives this truck to kill as many people as he can, and killed more than 80 people, and there are still several dozens who are yet wounded. And all of this was basically because, how does he know, by the way, that they're all infidels? I mean, what if there was a Muslim amongst those that he was killing? Kill the infidel wherever you find him. Well, you know, I don't see how you can even justify this according to the Quran. What do you think?
Yeah, it's difficult, you know, for us to imagine that somebody could do something so horrific. And, you know, if you see some of the videos that have been taken, if you just imagine somebody driving onto a sidewalk full of people,
yeah,
and just, you know, going
mowing
full
them
steam,
down.
More than a mile he was driving.
Wow.
And then you try to think through, okay, so this guy was depressed, you know, he had some financial difficulties. I don't know anybody who out of depression would do something like that unless there was something else going on. I mean, you know, people will, you know, cut themselves or think about jumping off a bridge, but to that kind of just brazen, you know, gruesome destruction of life, there's got to be something else going on.
Well, I'll say this. As a Christian, I know for sure that when I die, I will go to heaven. And I say that not because I'm good, but because God has promised. In fact, I'll quote the verse, or one of the verses, and it's the overall teaching in the New Testament that you can have assurance of salvation. But the verse says this: "This is the witness, God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son, S-O-N. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, Muhammad didn't even know if he was going to go to paradise, but it's my understanding that the teaching of Islam is that if you die in a state of jihad, and historically, I think that meant a little bit more defensive than offensive, but anyway, if you die in a state of jihad, then you are guaranteed paradise. Otherwise, you have no assurance of salvation. So basically, some of these people are killing others, and presumably that was the case with this 31-year-old Tunisian-born Frenchman, or maybe he was a Frenchman of Tunisian origin. I don't even know yet. But bottom line is, maybe that's the bottom line, is that he was seeking paradise, and this was a shortcut to do it, but kill as many of the infidel as he could.
I think that's true, and I think if you look at the stories of the 9/11 hijackers, you find that they were clearly believing that act would send them direct to paradise.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton said November 19, 2015, this is a tweet she said, but she says the same type of things today. "Let's be clear. Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism." I'm sorry, Hillary, that doesn't pass the smell test. Your comments?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And what's interesting with regard to the book, See Something, Say Nothing, is that Philip Haney, who the book is all about, testified before a Senate committee just a couple of weeks ago. And he testified of the elimination of records that were relevant to the Muslim Brotherhood. 2 days later, Ted Cruz confronted Jay Johnson, the Homeland Security Secretary, with that testimony, and he asked, you know, is this true? And Jay Johnson waved it off and said, I've never heard of Phil Haney, and that's another story. He certainly had, and I can prove that. But
wow.
The point here being is that Cruz then pressed him further and said, asked him, you know, if it were true, if it were accurate, would that make a difference? And Jay Johnson basically said, no, it wouldn't make a difference. And he immediately said, you know, if we are to somehow call the Islamic State, that's ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to call it, if we are somehow to call the Islamic State Islamic, then it would effectively ruin our relationship with these Muslim communities that we're trying to develop a relationship with, supposedly to stop terrorist attacks. But he's saying basically, you know, we can't call the Islamic State Islamic. If we do, it ruins our whole approach to terrorism.
And what does the Islamic State call it itself? The Islamic State, obviously.
Islamic State.
Yeah, and here's a quote from an article about Obama. Obama said flatly that this group, meaning Islamic ISIS, which is trying to install a caliphate in the Middle East, quote-unquote, is not Islamic. He didn't say they are perverting their religion. He said they're not even part of that religion. Quote, no religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of the Islamic State's victims have been Muslim, Obama said. Your comment?
Well, I think it's true that there are many Muslims who have died, but these are Muslims who, if they weren't people who managed to accidentally be in the crossfire, they're often targeted because they are considered not to be true Muslims. They're not adhering to the Islam of Muhammad. They are compromising. They're secularists. You know, they're dressing like Westerners or what have you, and so it's very clear that there is a separation in the so-called Islamic world as well. If you talk about the 1.2 billion people who identify as Muslim, many of those people are considered to be the same as infidels.
Here's a quote from Gary Bauer. This came from today's column, or just a recent one, after the Nice attack. He said, quote, our left-wing elites, even in the middle of this ongoing carnage, and he, you know, gave kind of a litany of some of the Islamic attacks, continue to tell us that it is a good and noble thing to bring in more people from the very areas where this radical Islamist ideology is so prevalent, and they use their power in the media and in the halls of government to destroy and ruin anyone who dares to resist their insanity. I mean, that's... that is the thesis of your book in some ways, See Something, Say Nothing.
It is, absolutely. And Philip Haney, on 9 different occasions, was investigated by either DHS, Department of Homeland Security, or the Justice Department. And in each case, he was exonerated. But clearly, all of those investigations were designed as a tactic to get him to shut up or to try to get him out of DHS.
Well, do you think we can, you know, continue in the West? It's like we're sleepwalking or something in this when it comes to dealing with the threat of radical Islam.
I think we need to wake up really fast, and I do see people like Newt Gingrich coming out with very strong statements, and I think if you came across that, what he said last night was that. We need to have a litmus test for people who come into this country. If they believe in Sharia, if they believe in Islamic law, they shouldn't be here. In fact, I think he was even stronger. He said, you know, we should test every Muslim, every person of a Muslim background here in the country. That's really dicey when it comes to the...
I thought it was if they're committed to Sharia.
If they're committed to Sharia, it's what he said. He said to test every person who is of Muslim background and see if they believe in Sharia. So,
right.
But you know, that's certainly, it's a very controversial statement, but I think that he is fed up like a lot of people and saying, look, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think he certainly is on the right track to understand that really is the distinction. If you believe in Sharia, you're actually violating the oath of allegiance that every person takes if they want to be a naturalized citizen.
Mm-hmm.
The foreigners who come to this country, you want to be an American, you take an oath that says that you renounce your allegiance to any foreign powers, and certainly that would include a religion that is inherently political and that has as its ultimate aim to overcome any political institution in the world. So it's clear, if you want to be a citizen, the first thing, number one, in fact, if you go to the website.
10 seconds.
Number one, support the Constitution. That's it. And it's really in direct conflict with Sharia.
DHSExposed.com. The name of the book is See Something, Say Nothing. Again, co-authors Art Moore. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.